What's going on, Clipper Nation? It is me, solo again, Positive Chuck Mockler, here to tell you that Clippers basketball is back after the All-Star break. We actually get a game preview today on Locked On Clippers. Of course, we are part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Usually, I am joined by my co-host, William the Opinion Updike. However, he is enjoying Mardi Gras, so hope he's having a good time. Like I said, we finally get a preview of another Clippers basketball game, this time the matinee game against the Kings on Saturday. Didn't go so well last time we played the Kings, so hopefully we can right that ship. Then, second segment, thanks to Twitter user at IamDennisZ, we're going to be doing a quick look at just how things are going for Agua Caliente Clippers, specifically Fee Man and Coffee, given they're the most, you know, LA Clippers ready, I guess. And then finally, we'll be wrapping it up with a shaving slash love, marry, kill. We have a quote-unquote update on the Lakers-Clippers rescheduling. Want to give a shout-out to the tons of different countries who've been listening to Locked On Clippers, which has been fantastic. But yeah, we got a good show for you guys. Let's get right into this Clippers-Kings preview. Okay, so no injury report yet. I'm recording this on a Thursday night. So we're going to go ahead and assume I think Bev is going to play. I hope it's on a restriction. Reggie Jackson officially signed. We're not sure if he's going to play yet for the Clippers or when he'll make his debut. We're going to have to. We're going to see what they say after practice on Friday when you'll be listening to this episode. Also unclear if Paul George will be back. So I am going to operate under the assumption that we are Paul George-less for this game, unfortunately. What do we need to do well? I'm going to say it. We need to come out mad. We got worked by the Kings on January 30th, and we need to show them that we didn't forget about it. And I think they kind of need to show, you know, a little bit of the fan base that we're upset, we're rested. Now is the time to really, I mean, what better way to set the tone for the remaining 20-whatever games of the rest of the season than to come out and just mudhole stomp the Kings. Guys are going to be rested. Doc is going to be refreshed. The pieces are there for this to be a big win. You know what I mean? Even without some key guys. Last time we were missing Kawhi and Sham, which, hey, a bunch of things hurt us last time. It wasn't just those. But we are going to be missing some, at least one key guy probably for this game. I hope I'm wrong. We also need to play better perimeter defense than the last competition. If you remembered, the last time we played the Kings, they put up 41 shots and hit 21 of them. Not going to win a lot of games with that scenario. We usually allow 35.5 threes a game, which is actually more than we take ourselves. We are a bottom five three-point attempt allowed teams, and that can and has killed us against these teams that we quote-unquote should beat kind of thing. I'm assuming the guys are going to want to start this last third-ish of the season like they responded the game after the last Kings game, and we really kind of clamped down. I believe it was the Wolves. But we can't do that trade bucket for bucket thing with this Kings team. We don't know what they're going to look like coming out of this break. I'm sure they're going to be fired up and want to show that that last win against us wasn't a fluke or anything like that. Something that's going to be difficult, though, the bench has to at least hold a lead or not bleed easy points. Buddy Hield is on the bench, which is difficult, but not impossible. Part of this is going to be on Doc. Lou and Trez combined for a hefty minus 43 the last time we played the Kings. And when a team is killing you with threes, those aren't necessarily the defenders you want out there. We're going to have to see some staggering, be it Kawhi, be it more, just something out there to help this bench defense as a whole. We are going to have to play good defense on both sets of guys, I guess, in terms of our starters and our bench people. And it can be an issue. We've seen that bench defense, you know, kind of look like a defense that's led by Lou Williams in the backcourt or something like that. And this, I guess, kind of bleeds into what could go wrong in this game is maybe some post-All-Star break sluggishness. We don't really know which version of the Clippers to expect on kind of any given night. I think a lot of us are trying to come to terms with that or close to it. So let's hope they come out hot for this one. We actually lost rebounds in the last matchup, which is very surprising when you're a top five team in rebounds per game. And if we're not hustling, which I guarantee the Kings will be, we're going to get caught in that, oh damn, like we got to play hard in this game. That some, it feels like sometimes the Clips get this kind of like jump start of like, shit, all right, we got to do this. Let's get into it. Ball stickiness, which, hey, I'm sure some of you listening have had to deal with that in a different scenario, could go wrong as well. Marcus Morris is still figuring out his role, and Doc is also figuring out his usage. There's definitely, you know, it seems like they're kind of just having him do what Mo Harkless did, which is fine if you're Mo Harkless, but Morris can do a lot more offensively. I don't want to see those weird jumpers early in the clock. That tends to lead to, you know, kind of limited ball movement. Kawhi might have to do a lot if our other guys aren't hitting, and that, when he is kind of quote-unquote playing hero ball, which I'm not against. Sometimes it just works, and you need some hero ball. But as a whole, it can get the offensive rhythm off. So, like, if other guys are kind of hitting early, but we go away from that, that could be an issue. The Kings' defense is the 20th ranked defensive rating. So we should be able to at least move the ball. I want to see, Doc has said this before, if Shamet is getting shots, the ball is moving. So look for Shamet to hopefully have some shots. We've kind of pegged his attempts on this one at like, hold on, like I would love to see Sham around like 8 or 9 attempts. That would be phenomenal in this game. I think we'd all be happy with that. Another thing factoring into this, I guess, you know, sluggishness and whatnot, is Doc's rotations. We have seen this factor into losses before. For the love of what is up there, if we're getting killed in the post and we're not exactly making up for it on the offensive end, maybe we'll see some Zoo in the fourth quarter. Probably not, but we might see it. He did play over 20 minutes last time he played the Kings, so there's hope yet still. I don't mean to put this all on Doc Heels. You know, we did just add Reggie Jackson, who might or might not play. Morris is a big deal thing. But seeing some concrete, I guess a little more, I don't want to say rational because that feels harsh, rotations would be nice to see. Key matchups, we have bench versus bench. When the Kings moved Heel to the bench, it makes it kind of a nightmare for any team that doesn't have, not an elite defender, but a, you know, above average to good on-ball backcourt defender. He's a nightmare for our second unit's defense. Reggie, I'm not sure if he's going to be playing as of this recording. It is 6:17 p.m. The Thursday before this episode comes out. But that's really the only, like, we're probably going to see Magruder in this game. He played 20 minutes of playing time the last game, and he's really the only other, like, quote-unquote defensive, you know, guard that we have on the second unit. Landry is in the conversation for sure. Obviously, you know, his offense helps out a lot more than his defense does. But if, you know, the pick-and-roll tunnel vision isn't there, he might be relegated to less than that 8 attempts number that I just said. So the point-of-attack defense from the bench is going to be huge. Kawhi versus whoever. Kings have only seen Kawhi once up to this point. He dropped 24 on them. He's going to be feeling pretty well rested after his All-Star Game MVP performance, and I think that momentum carries over. If Kawhi has swagger, he is the most unstoppable player in the league. If he starts to feel that, oh, I can really do this, not that he doesn't, I'm not saying that, but when he starts to really lock it in is when it's just over, and he gets into that Kawhi speed that we talk about on this pod sometimes, where everything revolves around him in a good way, in the way that he's dictating the pace, he's dictating pretty much everything that happens out there. It would be fantastic to see a true just FU game from Kawhi. And then we have the Clippers perimeter defense versus itself. This just might be a mainstay for the rest of the season. Game previews, the closeouts have to be there with with Fox. The right screen decisions need to be made. The containment can't be far from our mind with Fox. This is a test. This is absolutely a test. It's one that I'm confident we can pass. It was a shock last time how we lost to this team. You know, they got Bogdanovich, who could pose some issues. But I like the Clippers with this much rest. I want to see how everyone's kind of fitting together, seeing Morris. I hope Jermichael gets some attempts. I think we can do it. My prediction for this game is it is a matinee game, which, as we all know, Doc, you know, he can't get his lunch on time. He doesn't like these matinee games. But I think the Clippers take this one. I think it's more than a 10-point victory. I think they come out hot. I think Clippers win, buck 25. Let's say 110. Buck 25, 110. Or, you know, on the lower end of the spectrum, it would be nice to hold them under 100 points. Let me know what you think is going to happen. Let me know how excited you are for this game. At Locked On Clips, at Charles Mockler. Maybe bother at Will Updike, but he's on vacation. Coming up after this, we're going to be doing a quick check-in with the Agua Caliente Clippers. Okay, want to give a shout-out again to I Am Dennis Z. He hit up the Twitter really late last night after I'd already gotten done recording. Sorry about that, Dennis. But just a look at Agua Caliente. We're going to be looking at man, fee, and coffee, and then a little bit about Jonathan Motley, too. Because these are the most kind of, you know, L.A. Clippers ready slash adjacent guys that we have for the Agua Caliente Clippers. Let's start with Terrence Mann, kind of the beloved rookie of the preseason and part of the beginning of the season after kind of the Jerry West hype and all that stuff. He has totaled 13 games played for the Agua Caliente Clippers. It should be twice as many more, in my personal opinion. He's averaging 35 minutes a game when he plays, which is great. You know, I would be even more bummed, I guess, if he was down there only playing 13 games and averaging anything, honestly, less than 30 would be rough. His numbers are 14 points a game, 8 boards, 6.5 turnovers, plus a steal, and 2.5 turnovers per game. The shooting splits are where it gets a little, I don't know, concerning, or just definitely things for him to work on. He's shooting 53% from the field, which is great. We've seen his inside finishing, you know, it's NBA ready. It's there. He's aggressive. He draws contact. 69% from the free throw line, not the best. And then 30% from beyond the arc. He's taking 3 threes a game. So one of those is going in. I want to see the attempts get upped. I'm not even necessarily, I don't want to say I'm concerned if the percentage isn't there, but I want to see him just throw it up more. When he plays for the Clippers, that kind of something where as soon as he gets the ball in the perimeter, other teams do not care. There's no real threat for him to do anything down there. Getting his confidence up would be nice, obviously. I should note, I don't mean to poo-poo it this much, his attempts have slowly gone up so far this year. So I think the confidence is getting there. It also has to be hard. This goes back to what I was saying about only playing 13 games. It's hard to go into a system that's completely different than the Clipper system. I know the Agua Caliente Clippers run kind of some similar sets and stuff like that, but it's just completely different. The role he's in is different. He's being asked to do more for Agua Caliente, as he should. Not that he should be asked to do more for the actual Clippers at all. It's growing, you know? Like, he's a bit more of a project than I think a lot of us kind of thought. And with the roster that we have now, it's obviously, you know, for a rookie, very difficult to break into any regular minutes. And what we've seen really is the three-point shooting and the defense needs to get a little bit better. He has a plus 3.4 net rating, which when you consider that the Agua Caliente Clippers team net rating on the year is minus 1, that's phenomenal. So when he's out there, things are going, you know, not a comfortable win, but, you know, 4.5-point win better than when he's not on the court. The distribution, I like seeing the 6.5 dimes. Like this 14-8, 6.5 line that he's averaging, if he can get up to that in the big leagues, be it next year, be it the year after that, that's phenomenal. That he's a late pick. He's got a crazy body type for his position. So I just want more time in ACC for Terrence Mann. A lot of people on Twitter were kind of agreeing with me. Let me know if you disagree. He's not going to get time with the regular Clippers, especially with Amir Coffey, who I guess we can just talk about next, kind of being the biggest beneficiary for Mo Harkless being gone. He just needs more time in the G League. It seems to be paying off. I want more of it. Going off of Amir Coffey, I mean, legit the most surprising thing we've seen was Coffey getting those minutes. But he looked decent-ish. You know, the defense is there. He has crazy athleticism. And just as a side note, he is left-handed, which means I like him better than any other Agua Caliente Clipper. That's just how it goes. I'm also left-handed. Shout out to the lefties out there. He's played 13 games for ACC, which I thought was crazy low, given how little we see him. You know, it's not like he's been taking time up with the Clips. He's averaging 29 minutes per game. Don't really have an issue with that. Numbers-wise, he's at 16 points, 3 dimes, 3 boards, plus a hearty steal. He's the fourth highest scorer on the Ogle Caliente Clippers. The shooting splits is where this gets nice. 51% from the floor, 43% from 3, and then 74% from the free throw line. Obviously, you maybe want the free throw to get a little bit better. But that 43% from 3 is on 5 threes a game. And that, if you're, say, a tweener, he's basically a wing, that's how you get time with the Clippers, and how he probably got time over Man is letting that thing go and hitting it at a considerable rate. 43% is amazing to see from Amir Coffey. He's got a plus 1.8 net rating. He's a ball of energy. He can jump passing lanes. If you watch, you know, some of, admittedly, I don't watch a lot of full Ogle Caliente Clippers games. No disrespect, but I just don't. You watch his highlights. I know they're highlights, but he's got bounce. He kind of has that Motley Trez thing where the energy from everyone else feeds off of what he's doing. And it's like, oh, hell yeah. Like, let's get into this. Let's go for it. The shooting is awesome. I will say, however, there's kind of a caveat to that. The shooting is awesome in really the G League only. In the NBA, he's shooting 20% from three, which obviously isn't going to cut it. He's not getting a bunch of attempts, so I'm sure the rhythm and the efficiency gets thrown off with that. But I think I'm starting to say I might think Coffey's more ready than Man. He's got a little more pep or something. Like, Man has everything that can be built into a better player than Coffey, I think. But right now, Coffey just seems a little further along. He's another guy. Again, I'm not saying this is going to give him minutes or anything right now with the Clippers rosters. We're kind of getting closer to the playoffs and figuring out what that rotation is going to be. But the pieces are there. That 43% from three is something to keep an eye on. Let's hope if we see him come up and play for the Clips, he can do something similar to that again. And now this brings us to Fee, who's played 20 games. Again, that should be more. Averaging 31 minutes per game when he plays. He's the third highest scorer on ACC with 19 points. He's also averaging 9 boards and 1.5 assists, plus 2 blocks a game. His splits are pretty damn good. 48% from the field, 31% from 3, and 81% from the line. There's a running kind of joke that Fee is really trigger happy. If you ask the Clippers players in the locker room about Fee, they say, oh, I knew he was going to shoot it, that kind of thing. And it's 100% true. He's putting up 6 threes a game for Ogle Caliente, which is both amazing and insane. But hitting those at a 31% clip, like, dude, hell yeah. I mean, you're shooting twice as much as Terrence Mann, and you're shooting the same percentage. I love seeing that stat. It's a little baffling, but I'm here for it. 2.4 net rating. Again, given the team net, that's fantastic. Everything that Fee needs to develop is in the G League. This should be his home. I hope he stays down for a while to get the confidence within his frame up, so he can maybe get the better defensive rotations, everything like that. But yeah, I'm really enjoying Fee's development down there. I think in terms of development-wise, it's been Fee's number one. He's been the best one of these three guys to see flourish. He's not going to see time for the Clippers at all, I don't think, in any substantial way. So I really hope all these guys stay down here. And then we have to give a special shout-out to Jonathan Motley. His splits, he's at 24 points, 8 boards, 3 dimes. The best part about his game right now is that he's shooting 35% from 3. It's just 3 attempts. It's nothing, you know, amazing. But he needs this to get better if he's going to get time for the Clippers. Assuming next season is a real possibility, if this becomes consistent, he did have 33 points in the last game. But, you know, if you've followed the Clippers, if you followed this podcast, Jonathan Motley's energy is there. He can light it up. He played great for the Mavs when he was on their team. He came in for us. It's just, he's a skinny guy. He can't play the true five because he just is, I think he's too skinny. But he can play the four. He can be a athletic, energetic four. And I want to see that 3-point shooting. Really, the three-point shooting is kind of the common through line with all of these guys, where, man, I just want to see him put it up more. Fee, just a little bit more consistency. Amir, just, dude, keep staying the same and bring that up into the clips. And then Motley, just rounding it out enough to be a quasi-threat from deep would be fantastic. Okay, the Clippers highlights are pretty fun to watch. I will say that. That about wraps it up for this, you know, young guy check-in. Shout out Dennis Z. Let me know if you want to see these guys, you know, still in the G League. That really seems like the biggest possibility. Let me know how many games you want to see them finish out at the rest of the year. Coming up after this, we have a quick shavings plus a classic Friday Love, Marry, Kill. But first, if you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've maybe heard all of the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach local sports fans. And you may not know that Locked On Clippers is the best way for your local business to reach passionate Clippers fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any listeners, a genius Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with the Clippers fans, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On Clippers pod. Local fans love supporting local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and our team will get in touch with your team to score the winning team touchdown or basket. You can achieve Locked On advertising success by texting advertising to 33777 or one more time visiting lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. Hey, hey. Welcome to Shaving / Love, Marry, Kill. We've been getting a bunch of questions on if there's an update on when this Lakers-Clippers game is going to happen. And there was an LA Times article that came out. I think the headline was like, there's no date yet because it's complicated. So there's your answer. I wish I had a better one for you. I don't. I'm starting to believe they're not going to play this game. So I was talking with a Lakers fan at work, actually. And he's like, they can't just not play this game. That's crazy. It's like, well, yeah, but the circumstances surrounding the game are so abnormal and tragic that, I don't know, if it's not affecting seeding, there's no reason to play the game. You give people refunds. It sucks, but it was an absurd event. It was tragic. There wasn't a precedent, really, for something like this. And, I mean, worst case scenario, you know, you sandwich this game in between the downtime from the regular season of the playoffs, and God forbid someone picks up a knock. And I'm talking from either team. That would be such a bad look for the NBA. It's a rock and a hard place. So this is a marquee matchup. There wouldn't be a lot of other things going on. I don't really want them to play it. I don't, with how our team is doing, honestly, give us one less game. We'll take the rest. Let me know if you guys want them to play it, how you feel about when they should play it. It's a funny headline, but it's really true. It is very complicated to figure this date out. We're not really sure when it's going to happen, but if we get news, we'll absolutely let you guys know. But now we're getting into the really why I think most people listen to this podcast, and that is this very short segment called Love, Marry, Kill that we do every Friday. If you're new, it's just a little something fun to tide us over for the weekend. This one today is what Clippers players did for the All-Star break who maybe didn't go to the game. We know from his Instagram that Patrick Patterson was hanging out on a random boat. We know that Lou threw a bunch of parties, which seemed fun. Again, did not get my invite. But what did you think the other Clippers did? And this is, you know, since I'm solo, this is an open-ended Love, Marry, Kill. After you listen to this episode, check out at Locked On Clips. Let me know which of these you would Love, Marry, Kill. We'll talk about it. It'll be a good time. The options we have are, for what certain Clippers did over the All-Star break, we have Doc Rivers. He was trying to learn the TikTok dances so he can better relate to Terrence Mann in Fee. Caveat, in this scenario, he is watching videotapes that he has made Clippers staffers make of TikToks, so going from digital to film, in the Clippers team facilities. He's trying to do it. He's got the raspy voice. He's not making adjustments because he doesn't need to. That is Doc trying to learn TikTok dances so he can relate to Terrence Mann in Fee more. Second option, Ivica Zubac takes the time to devour books on how to be more efficient at work. He knows his playing time is limited and he wants to get the most of it. The number one book option he is reading is The Big Smooth Jumper Handbook by Sam Perkins. Shout out to all my weed smoking big guys out there who shoot threes. Sam Perkins does it for all of you. But that's Sue just trying to get better at his craft. I personally like this one a lot. I think he's probably reading a bunch of, like, you know, how 15 minutes can change your life and stuff like that. One more time, that is Zubok's Devouring Books on How to Be More Efficient at Work. And the final option, this one, Landry Shamet, noted barbecue lover. Shamet goes gung-ho and decides to build his own elaborate barbecue pit in the shape of Steve Ballmer's head. It sounds great, but unfortunately he didn't do his research, and city zoning issues prevent the work from being fully functional, so now he's just stuck with a weird Ballmer head sculpture in his front yard. That'd be a tough go. Let me know at Locked On Clips which one of these you are picking for Love, Marry, Kill. I am loving Zubats reading Sam Perkins' fake book that I invented. Shout out Sam Perkins. He used to have a big poster on my wall. I am marrying Doc trying to learn TikTok dances. He learned what drip was. The term drip was, I think, this year or maybe last year because of Shay, and it, you know, wasn't as hilarious as you expect. And I think I got to kill the Shamet one. He might just already have the weird Ballmer head sculpture, so, you know, I'm sure he wouldn't be that tacky to have two Steve Ballmer head sculptures. Thank you so much for hanging out. That about wraps up this Friday episode of Locked On Clippers with me, Positive Chuck Mockler. After the game on Saturday, I will be doing a live stream at Locked On Clips just to recap the hopeful victory and everything like that. For Monday's episode, we are going to have a full-on episodic recap of the Kings game, a preview of the Memphis Grizzlies game that is going down Monday night. Oh, I am so happy that we have Clippers basketball back. And of course, every Monday we do the Freshies, where we're taking a look at the new guys, seeing how they're fitting in, what's going well. We'll probably definitely be talking about Reggie Jackson and Marcus Morris in that scenario. If you liked hanging out, which, hey, I hope you have, you can find Locked On Clippers on iTunes, Spotify, Deezer, Google Casts, whatever they're doing over there in Palo Alto or wherever Google is. Please rate, review, subscribe. We'll read your review. If you tweeted us, like you're at I Am Dennis C, sometimes it's fantastic ideas, and we'll just put it on the show. One more time, I have been Positive Chuck Mockler. I will talk to you guys after the game on Saturday, as well as the new episode on Monday. Hope everyone has a great weekend. Let's go, Clips.